Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 161. This is Kevin DeFrango. Still on a camera is Ken Phillips. What's up, good sir?
It's always good to see your face again, Kevin. So that's making things going pretty good over here at the moment. Continuing in our lockdown phase, but I think, we're handling it pretty well. It is kind of interesting to see different people handling the lockdown necessity. I saw that Jimmy Fallon had Lady Gaga on via like a phone Skype or something like that, and she ended up taking calls at the other at the same time she was being interviewed, and like apologizing and like having to like cancel her announcement she was going to make that night. It's like everybody is just kind of scrambling a little bit at this point. But we're probably gonna, I think we're gonna take, we've got some topics picked out for more of like the traditional era of the show, if you will, Kevin.
That is a good way to call it. Trying to get away a little bit from the old coronavirus talk.
Yeah. Before we dove in there, I just happened to read an article about the WrestleMania event, which took place over this past weekend, as we're recording. And I think it was it sounded kind of interesting to me. You know, obviously they're having to contend with the lockdown, there was no fans in attendance, but it sounded like there was sort of varying levels of success, I would say, with maybe kind of them getting better as time went on in terms of like being able to like have camera angles that worked well with not being a crowd there, or like having kind of wrestlers sort of get the feel for what works better in terms of like wrestling, even like what plays better without a crowd being there. The person that wrote, the author of the article, had said that like making more contact when striking and like making noise, like it seemed like that played better.
That was certainly a direction that was told to be gone in, I think, especially as things went along. And there were a couple of times where people thought that that went a little overboard and sounded overtly sexual. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair having their match comes to mind. There were other matches that were very successful at it, and there was also and Jeremy and I talked about it a little bit, there were two like completely filmed matches. Like they,
well, yes, I did want to go there. I was curious to see what your opinion was here.
I enjoyed the shit out of both of them, and Jeremy and I kind of did a he kind of talked about, I was talking about how, like, in general, wrestling is weird without a crowd.
I would say that's accurate. I mean, just the crowd is always chanting, it seems to me, or you know, doing some kind of cheering or reacting to something going on in the ring. And the wrestlers play that up. You know, many times a wrestler would just, you know, scream and kind of face the crowd while their opponent's on the ground. Like, not something you would actually do, probably, if you were in a truly competitive,
environment.
You don't see that in the MMA too often, but,
no, they don't really let off the gas pedal if they don't have to.
Right, right. But, you know, for professional wrestling, it's definitely a part of the show. Were there some wrestlers who were still doing that sort of thing, would you say?
That was another thing that did get better as time went along. And it was more in the they had a couple of weeks of TV, and people were just, I couldn't believe that some of the people were still playing to the crowd. And it's just like, guys, you've kind of been doing this for a little while now. Like, I get that you're trying to ignore, like, all of your training, basically. But at some point, when you look around, it really should dawn on you that there literally is no one there. You know, and to just knock off the nonsense.
Did they tell them ahead of time there would not be a crowd? You would think so.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, because, again, like, they...
No, I mean, that was a joke, but, you know, you think that they would be aware of that fact beforehand and not, you know, like you said, playing to a crowd that's not there. I don't know if that's supposed to be, like... But then, because even if on television, like even if you're not seeing the crowd when the performer is doing that, you're definitely hearing the crowd reaction. So like to have that be missing, I don't think it plays well on television anyway. But so the film matches though. One love the Undertaker, I believe, and the author. Pointed out that this could actually be very good for the Undertaker to allow him to kind of extend his career more, due to like the kind of punishment he's been taking over the years.
I talked about the punishment more with Chris Sunday night, and the fact that guy has been wrestling for 30 some odd years. Like, I know that probably over the last 4 to 5 years. So, really, he did a hard 30 years of wrestling. In the last 4 to 5 years, he's probably wrestled just at WrestleMania. Maybe a couple other times during the year. Like, his schedule has been extremely limited the last couple of years. And, it's for the best, because he's looked kind of terrible in most of his matches. And the way they filmed it, they could get away with more matches like this. But Jeremy and I talked about this end of it. Like, it was... The Undertaker had a perfect send-off when he lost to Roman Reigns. And he laid it... He put all of his gear back on and then laid it down in the ring like a, you know how, I guess, wrestler, like amateur wrestlers, when they're done wrestling, they'll leave their boots in the ring as the I'm retired kind of a thing. And, you know, this was kind of his version. Like, he left his trench coat in his wide-brim hat in the ring after losing to Roman Reigns. And it's just like, yep, that seems like a perfect send-off, especially since a lot of people in wrestling, if you're quote-unquote leaving the territory, which retirement is, you lose on the way out the door. Because Kurt Angle last year lost to Baron Corbin to try and help him out in his last ever match. You know, instead of them doing a happy ending, like, their happy ending is trying to help someone else out. So, I mean, Undertaker helped out Roman Reigns, kind of had a retirement-type looking ceremony, but then came back the next year and the year after that and looked terrible in those matches.
Did he lose at WrestleMania, or was that...
He lost at WrestleMania to Brock Lesnar... WrestleMania 30 down in New Orleans when we were down there.
Okay.
But then he lost, it was 4 years later, I believe, to Roman Reigns.
Gotcha.
Because he's had two other matches since that loss to Roman Reigns. And then this year's match with AJ Styles, which, again, the filming nature of it did... allow them to hide a lot of his flaws. So it really it could extend his career. I hope it doesn't, because, like, he, even though it's not traditional, I'm cool with the legend riding off after a big victory. And, like, in a truly memorable match. Like, because it was the first one of the two, it was more fun. And Jeremy and I talked about it. Their match was more like an action movie, if we're talking movies. And John Cena versus Bray Wyatt was more like Inception, where it's a think piece.
It happened inside the wrestler's mind, I think, from what I could tell.
Yeah.
Which is pretty... it's a pretty ballsy concept, I would say, really, to try to do for even a wrestling match. But, you know, in a way, I guess that's... I don't know. It sounds like it'd be tough to pull off, though.
I thought they pulled it off. Like, I really... I enjoyed that match, too, but... Like, it's in a different way, you know, than the other match. The other match was, like, you know, it's just going to come out of my mouth because it's the first, you know, it's just like a John Wick movie, you know. You kind of, I guess I'll probably side on the side of action before a think piece more times than not, even if the think piece is very well acted. Although, I did get a chance. Have you gotten a chance? I can't believe it. It's the first, Tarantino movie that I have not seen in the theaters since Jackie Brown was, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I finally got a chance to see that here recently during this quarantine, and I was, quite excited that I did, watch that. Have you gotten a chance to watch that one?
I had not seen that, no. Yeah, I got to, I've heard it was a pretty good one, though.
Yeah, it's really good. I really enjoyed it a lot. I was surprised by some elements of the movie that it did not dawn on me until the very end of the movie that were missing.
All right, without any spoilers.
Yeah, I'm trying to go spoiler free for you specifically. Like, everyone else who's listening has probably watched it already, and they're just yelling stuff into their headphones right now.
Well, you know, we don't. I'm sorry about that to all you people who have already seen it. I guess that's like, what is that? The opposite of a spoiler. It's like a. Annoyingly unspoiled thing.
Yeah, or we're not blue-balling them, I don't think. With the information.
An informational blue-balling, yeah. That's right. Well, we can give some information out, I guess, Kevin.
Sure. Lots of information out. Like, any of the links to our these articles will be given out.
That's our guarantee. And I was going to start this evening with a, I don't know, have we ever talked about, I feel like we had to have talked about the QAnon conspiracy theory.
I believe that we have touched on it once or twice before. Yeah. Sometimes I don't understand why it gets as much coverage as it gets in some ways. Like, even though I was shocked by the fact that this goon in the specific article that you had about him getting arrested, really, in the scheme of things, is 23,000 followers really that many followers?
Well... It's roughly 22,900, you know, more followers than I have. But I don't know. That's it's a decent amount of people, though. Really,
it's still a scary amount of people for that believe in this shit. But and this ass clown definitely deserves to get arrested. Like, I guess I didn't realize part of the QAnon conspiracy, and this kind of leads more honestly to the first article that you had linked us to a couple of weeks ago about the woman who kidnapped her son.
Well, maybe we can start with that story there. Yeah.
Because, you know, even though I was familiar with the whole QAnon thing from some of our previous shows, this was one that I was just like, oh, I didn't realize that they thought that they could get away with anything, that they were under no legal jurisdiction from the United States government. At all.
Yeah, that one is a concept called sovereign citizen. And I think that is sort of, that's been around for a little while, probably longer than QAnon has been around, but it does seem like the people who believe in that sort of stuff, those circles overlap.
Yeah, they in the Venn diagram, they are beside each other.
Right, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, this is she, I guess, kidnapped her own daughter. And that seems to be another kind of common thing that this sovereign citizen movement kind of rallies around, is people who have... I feel like this has popped up a few times. I've seen articles where people who have kind of lost guardianship of their children and they're trying to get them back kind of claim this sovereign citizenship. Like so that the law, basically saying that the laws of the United States do not apply to them, which is a convenient thing. And they also believe that everyone could enjoy these rights, and you basically have to just make some statement
and it will be so.
Yes. So this woman had posted to Facebook, I do not consent, I do not contract, I do not acquiesce nor trade or allow access or inquiry to my nor my children's sestua que vie trust. So I don't know. That seemed like a Latin phrase.
You're the one that took Latin, sir. I think you should be right on top of that stuff.
All deemed authorities are now notified and therefore have no legal jurisdiction against me. I am now not, quote, deemed dead, lost at sea, unquote. So that's a... very confusing statement to make. I'm not sure what I would think if I saw a friend make that kind of post on Facebook. I'd probably not be probably be a little worried about them at that point. But surprisingly, Kevin, this tactic was actually, this legal strategy was not effective. The police did eventually find her. And they arrested her, even though she presented with them with this non-consent paper.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe the non-consent paper didn't work. How dare that in the statement didn't work either. Yeah, when you don't have legal rights to someone, you are kidnapping them. Like, it's kind of that easy. Like... It did make me wonder what she did to have the kids taken away in the first place. Like, not that I'm like, oh, I'm surprised, because, I mean, she seems a little unstable, so I'm not terribly surprised. But,
well, one thing that she got in trouble with before was trying to take another of her children out of custody in 2013. After allegedly paying a friend 20 Xanax tablets to make a false abuse report.
I forgot about that. It was in the article itself.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's... I mean, it's just... I guess people want to believe kind of quick fixes, or, you know, it's, but I wonder how it feels for her to kind of like have that false hope taken away from her, you know, when she, how surprised must she have been when the police actually arrested her? Because I think she must have believed that they wouldn't have, you know? You think it like dawned on her that, wait, I guess I was wrong this whole time?
Yeah, I guess I wonder when that stage hits. You know what I mean? Do you still, like, can someone be stubborn enough to still believe it while they're in jail?
I mean, I think so, actually, Kevin. I mean, it doesn't seem possible, but just from some of the articles alone we've covered in the course of the show, people kind of being willing to, you know, twist things around to the point where, you know, they can believe anything. I would say this could be part of, you know, Q's plan to win the fight against the evil Democrats.
Yeah. And that's the other part that's kind of weird about the situation. It's just like, you'd think that these ding-dongs would be happy that their man is in office, but yet they're still going off the rails. It's just like,
I think I would like, you know, there has to be a reason why everything is not like, you know, automatically better now that our guy's in office. It's in a way of like processing their disappointment. That was the theory put forth, which made sense to me, I think, but
yeah, it makes some sense. But I would imagine it might be a case by case, analysis, one that, there's just never going to be a real blanket, answer for.
No, I don't think there might not be a one-size-fits-all answer. Because different people have different reasons to get into it. Like, I know that there's, and this is kind of a hot topic within the QAnon world, there's a lot of people who are seen to be grifters, who are kind of, you know, pretending to be, you know, more knowledgeable inside the conspiracy than what they are, you know, really. And they're, you know, people are selling merchandise and things like that. So if you get a few 10,000, you know, 20,000 followers and you can sell some stuff to them, I mean, you can be start making some decent change, I would say. Some of those folks were upset recently by a kind of a new guy on the scene who calls himself Baby QAnon. And I know we didn't discuss this guy before, but...
No.
He just...
this is... He's a fresh-faced yours truly. And I'm glad that we'll be hopefully done talking about this dumbass after this article.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, this could be another situation where will the reality sink in or not, but... this is a, you know, 29-year-old named Austin Steinbart. He is a part of the QAnon conspiracy believers. But more than that, he kind of came out as a leading figure in that conspiracy, ruffling the feathers of others who had kind of already gathered their own people and were not really wanting to have other folks come in. But as time went on, he, started to make bolder claims and eventually made the claim that he actually was Q himself, albeit a younger version of Q, since Q, of course, had time traveled from the future, to arrive in our time to kind of give us clues about what's going to happen.
Oh, I forgot about that part too. Like... I guess this kind of gets into that flat Earth territory where I'm like, how do you talk yourself into this stuff? Like, and obviously this guy, to get back to it, he's the one with 23,000 YouTube followers. So obviously there's some people, more people than follow Stunt Granny, you and me combined. But that's a decent chunk of people to believe this stuff. And I mean, it just seems so ludicrous. Like, for this stuff to all be real, just...
I mean, as a total, like, percentage of the population, it's not that huge, but just as, like, a raw number, that is a big group of people, you know?
Yeah, more than I would care to see in a group that believes this many crazy things.
Right.
And I don't even know if, I guess he was one of the higher-ups, but I wonder how many people... wonder how many followers the bigger people have.
I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't done a deep dive here into the world.
And I am not going to do a deep dive. I think I've made that perfectly clear.
But Steinbart had been taunting people and saying that, you know, he basically proof that he is who he says he is, that he had not been arrested because he had been kind of doing some illegal things, including while he was at a brain scan clinic, accessing the medical computers without permission and gaining access to like NFL player scans and, you know, recording them and sharing them out to his followers, I guess to prove to them, this was his reasoning, that he, you know, was not going to get in trouble since he was, you know, a spy or had high clearance somehow. Well.
Yeah. A, if you're a spy, don't make yourself this easy to find by having a house that people can come to.
Right. I mean, that's spy 101, I would think. Like, you don't want to go around telling people you're a spy, right?
Yeah, that seems pretty pretty basic to me.
Oh, one of the players I just read who he accessed scans for was Terry Bradshaw, the former Steelers quarterback. Kevin.
Well, yeah, I mean... that gives it some name recognition as far as who the names are, but this is just some bullshit to be doing. Like, I don't even care if they're non-NFL players.
Yeah.
Like, if you went into a clinic and just started filming someone else's medical records and then posted them online, that's some pretty serious jackassery. I would assume quite illegal to be posting medical records.
Yes, you should not be doing that. He was arrested for it.
Unfortunately, he did get out, and he still has some time because they said that he was back at his jackassery after his release. So I don't think it's dawned on him yet. I would assume that there's no way around him getting time for some type of medical fraud, I would think, would be a minimum. Would you not? I guess there'd have to be theft in there, too.
Right. You're getting access to that, computer system unauthorized. So I would think that would be something... as well as, you know, violating patient privacy rights, that's got to be something too. So,
I think he still has some time for it to dawn on him. Just getting arrested is not, to me, it's probably not going to completely do it for him.
Yeah, you could be right there, Kevin.
Because I think the other woman in the other article we were talking about was actually arrested and is still in jail. So I think that's maybe when it would dawn on you, when you're still in jail. You know, it better dawn on you at that point.
It dawned on me when I read this next article, Kevin, that we really are in a brave new world here in terms of what we can achieve, where we are as a species. And I think I'll just read the headline.
Yeah, go for it.
This toilet recognizes your butthole and uploads photos to the cloud. And after reading the full article, I can say that that does seem to be accurate. Probably one of our Hall of Fame headlines, I'm going to say.
In terms of
catchiness and accuracy, it gets high marks.
Yeah, I mean, they were not wrong with any of this information. You would think with such an outrageous claim that maybe something would be wrong. That is not the case at all.
So this is a smart toilet, Kevin, which really is not a full toilet. It looks like it's basically something that would go on similar to a toilet seat with a little kind of extra parts on there. What kind of extra parts would you say, Kevin? Well,
lots of extra parts, Ken.
Yeah, it's got several. I believe it has four cameras.
Yeah, four cameras for your, and it's not even all just for the poo. The four cameras are for specific, different, because I'm trying to find the four parts that, and I don't know how I skip by it. It's such a goddamn short article.
There's an anus camera. Now, that's the thing that will actually take your, and this is the term they use, anal print scan. Apparently, and I did not know this, and I don't know why I would necessarily. The shape of everyone's, rectum, basically, not rectum. Well, the sphincter, it's different for everybody to the point where they could identify somebody just by their, butthole.
And I loved it. It was with great amusement that I read in the article as the study co-author Dr. Sung Min Park said the famous painter Salvador Dali had already figured out that the anus had 35 or 37 creases, which are as unique as fingerprints. I always enjoy when someone invokes someone famous to kind of justify their own weirdness, because Salvador Dali was weird, and this dude's weird for looking at butthole fingerprints. He's doing it in a much more scientific manner than Mr. Dali would have, but... yeah, it's still a little bit weird. I guess I'm not surprised that maybe something like this would want to be in use. Like, we've talked about data a lot. And this toilet is supposed to collect data on, on your whatever you let out of your system. And it's supposed to be able to tell the difference between users.
I think the only thing it's really missing is a fart detector, from what I can tell. there's basically every other kind of sensor, you know, you could really want. There's the, you know, the butthole camera we talked about.
Yeah.
The stool camera. So that is like taking pictures of your poo and using machine learning, I guess, to get information based on your appearance of the poo that you're producing.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that.
There's some kind of scale. They said they were classifying it.
Yeah, because
the Bristol stool form scale using deep learning. So I've never heard of the Bristol stool form scale before. That's a new thing that I've learned today.
This is why we bring you articles like this, grandkids.
So yeah, there is a stool camera. Now there's also two Euroflow cameras, and these two cameras kind of work to get like a stereo vision view of the urine coming into the bowl. They're able to detect when it's flowing, and not just that it's flowing, but how long it's flowing and the volume of the flow. So like how thick the stream is. And I suppose also the color, you know, to get like an idea of your, I guess, you know,
your intake.
How hydrated are you?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going on. Then there's also a strip that kind of comes out that is used to test the urine. It's normally retracted underneath the bowl, or not the seat. But then when it detects urine, it will pop out to kind of get a sample for testing. Let's see, what else do we got here? Oh, it detects, you know, there's pressure sensors in the seat to detect how long you've been sitting down there.
There's also I wonder now, if you got this installed, would you be a little more concerned with taking time on the toilet as opposed to, you know, right now?
Well, it would feel really strange to have an internet-connected camera, like, directly in your toilet, I think, like, in your bathroom. Like, that would be kind of hard for me to get over.
There's only four internet cameras in your toilet, Ken.
I know. It's only four, but somehow I feel like that's four too many for my bathroom. Even though I do see, you know, the benefit, I suppose. Like, you could probably detect problems early on and maybe get feedback on, you know, diet or things like that that you can kind of do to improve your digestive health. I'm not sure what other kind of, you know, detection they could do. Who knows? But this is kind of like, and you're already using the toilet, so it's like you're not having to go in somewhere to get lab tests done or something, you know, obtrusive. It's a pretty convenient way to, like, you know, get, like you said, a lot of health data about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it can certainly tell you the composition, I would imagine, of good and bad foods, for the most part, that you have consumed in the past week, at some point. Because, you know, I mean, even if you do eat well, I mean, you're gonna have waste. Like, it just kinda happens.
Everybody poops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I would imagine that it might be able to help you kind of tailor your diet a little bit better by getting this information. But I do think that it's still a little weird and creepy to be doing my own, you know, perv cam in my bathroom. That, you know, they are definitely made a point of saying that your data is very well encrypted, and it is hard for anyone to break into it, and I certainly hope so. If you're going to offer this type of product, you know, that data better be well covered, because I don't want to see my asshole out on the news. I don't think 12 NFL legends like Terry Bradshaw want to have their assholes out on YouTube anytime in the near future.
And I can honestly say that I don't want that to happen either, Kevin. I don't think that's anything anybody wants.
Yeah.
They're saying that the algorithm will work without having human interaction. So there won't be someone there who's like looking at every asshole and kind of matching it up manually, which that would be quite a job. I don't know. Like a butthole identifier. That would be quite strange.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there are different...
It's almost weird that they thought that they had to explain that that wasn't what was happening. Like,
well, I mean, it is what's happening. But, well, you know, they're doing it legally because you're consenting to it.
Well, there's not actually, like, somebody sitting there, like, looking at a screen of buttholes and, like, dragging and dropping to, like, say who's his who's. Like, they were just...
Oh, I would love to see that.
That's not what's happening. You know, it just seems a little strange.
At what point of the day does someone just kind of get into a malaise about worrying about sorting assholes? Graphic pictures of them. Like, you have to become desensitized at some point.
I guess so. It just doesn't... It doesn't sound fun, really. I mean, I think that would be... Even if you started out really liking buttholes, I feel like after a couple shifts of that, you know...
You'd be tapped out of buttholes.
Yeah. It gets to be too much, I would have to imagine. Well, anyway, I'm glad... According to them, there's nobody who's actually doing that job, so that's good.
Yeah. This is a good point. And
I didn't want to leave our listeners with the wrong idea. There's not actually people who are dragging and dropping to match people with their buttholes. Kevin, how are we doing on time there? I can't
we still got time to go on to a topic that has nothing to do with anything that we've talked about previously, Ken.
No, it's pretty far out there, I'd say, Kevin, though. Maybe in some ways similar, maybe not, maybe even further out there, let's say, than the butthole scanning toilet. Because we're talking about a planet that has been detected... an exoplanet outside of our solar system. It's about 390 light years away.
Yeah, would you say it's beyond Uranus, Ken? Maybe.
You would have to say that. I mean, you could not argue that it's not beyond Uranus. Because that is just factually accurate. It was discovered... in 2013, and the only known planet to be orbiting this star, WASP-76. That's a cool name for a star. Huge planet, and the daytime temperature can reach over 4,300 degrees Fahrenheit, which is hot, and it's hot enough to melt iron, but even more hot, it can actually split those molecules into atoms and turn iron into a gas. So there's... iron gas in this planet's atmosphere, which is pretty weird to think about, I'd say.
Yeah. The more I hear about these exoplanets and all these... Because, I mean, we've definitely done our fair share of space topics. And, yeah, like, there is some really crazy stuff that happens out there in space. And Iron Rain is certainly something that I was not aware of prior to this article. And it just kind of scares me after reading this article. Like, I mean, we're never going to live there, but it's still pretty wild that this is something that happens, is that it heats up enough during the day, and then the winds carry it over to the cool side of the planet, because the hot side is always on one side, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they said that this planet is tidally locked to its star, similar to how the moon is tidally locked to the Earth, where there's only one face that we always see, the same face of the moon. It's a similar thing with this and the star that it's circling. But the one side is always in light, the other side always dark. But you're right, there is a wind that blows around the planet, and so they're saying they can see the iron, you know, going into the dark side, but then on the other side of the other Terminator, where the wind is blowing from the night side into the dark side, they're not seeing that iron gas in that area, which is leading them to believe that the iron gas precipitates out of the atmosphere on the cold side of the planet. So they weren't able to directly observe Iron Rain. It must be raining molten iron on the night side of this planet.
That is some wild, wacky stuff, Ken. I would have to say, in my worst Johnny Carson impersonation.
I did not know that it would rain iron on a planet, Kevin. Just to match your Johnny Carson there. I guess if you feel like the weather is bad in Ohio, at least it's not raining molten iron, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I do have my complaints about the Ohio weather. The fact that it still wants to be winter after not being winter all winter is kind of annoying me. It is definitely not molten iron rain. So I will stop complaining, I guess.
Thank you.
But there's, as far as we know, no life on this planet. Nor do I think that seems like a good place to live, even if you lived there. Like, I hope if, you know, some life form had lived there, they're like, oh, we need to get out of here as soon as possible.
As I think our planet might suck. We need to go try something else, because this is not working.
Yeah, we are tidally locked here. We really, it's just cold all the time, and it rains iron on us. Like, this shit is for the birds. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, this is terrible on our roofs. I mean, these shingles were not meant to put up with molten iron.
What style shingles did you get? Oh, you got the 3-day shingles, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem possible to have life form on a planet where it's so hot that iron turns to gas. That would be really surprising. I know we've come across some extremophile animals, like living underneath at the bottom of the sea on volcanic vents, or, you know, you could potentially think about them maybe living in a place like Europa under the surface of the ice there.
I'm trying to think. What are the little space bugs?
Tardigrades, is that what you think?
The tardigrades.
they can take some extreme conditions for sure.
Yeah, but the extreme hot does not seem like one of those conditions necessarily, I don't think. At least this level of hot.
No, 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit is too hot, Kevin. I think we can all agree.
There's no human existence there, or even anything kind of like that. Like, yeah, I would think that it would be some type of maybe, like a germ or something like that would be the only thing that you could maybe find on that planet.
I don't know, some kind of being of pure energy, maybe, that doesn't have a physical form. You know, if we're going to go a little farther out there.
I suppose that could be the case, Ken. I find that highly unlikely, but it is a possibility.
I can't really argue with you there.
We can argue about Beltane beers again because of the difference in location. We are more than likely going to be drinking different beers all the time during our shows. So good news for the listeners. They get two beer reviews instead of one.
Yeah.
What happens to be your beverage of choice this evening?
I am drinking a Rheingeist Truth from the fine folks at Rheingeist Brewing, yes, in Cincinnati, Ohio. A pretty solid IPA, I'd say. And I've just been, I don't know, I've been on an IPA kick here lately.
Yeah, that's one of those few IPAs that I was taught, and I don't know if I recorded with Jeremy last night, but I think sometimes I don't like just regular IPAs anymore. I like hazies a lot. I like pale ales, which have become more common. And the IPA itself, I end up kind of having some problems with. I think because there's usually a bitterness involved, but the truth isn't that bitter to me. And it definitely brings a level of bitterness, but it doesn't overwhelm the beer, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that, too. It's a solid choice.
Yeah. Well, I am finally... I did break down today and did some pickup beers at Land Grant Brewing in Wolf's Ridge. But those beers will be gotten to at a later time. I still had one beer left from my last trip to Altoona. It's New Trail Brewing White Out Hazy Double India Pale Ale, 8.5 ABV. NA on the IBUs, and they're out of Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and I'll have to say that they make a lot of great beers. I have gotten a number of cans from these folks on my visits to Altoona, and I have liked the beers more times than not, and this Whiteout is probably my favorite out of all the ones that I've gotten from them.
All right, cool.
So, yeah, if you happen to, after these lockdown conditions are done and over, and you happen to find yourself in central Pennsylvania, I certainly would search out some New Trail beverages if I were you. With that, I guess we got at DeFrango 11, at Gozer 33, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us, and have a good night.
See ya.